Hare Krishna.
So we are continuing with our Varnashram marathon. It's a new kind of marathon. And we have as our speakers, I don't know, there's so many chairs set up here. Is that for a reason? The whole team is coming. So you're going to have to help me with the names then. Yeah. Because we know the two resident saints who will be speaking. And Dhruva Prabhus. And they are bringing their other saints with them. The saints are marching in. But you have to tell us who they are. And I saw your husband going in the wrong direction.
Yes.
So tell us who else is going to be with us.
So we have Keshi Mardana Prabhu, just joined the team. It's Nandishwara Prabhu. And we're just waiting for Snan Yatra Prabhu and his wife Julan Yatra. So these six members are the core team of Gitanagari.
So we're waiting for the Yatra family. But we're going to start without them. We're going to start right now. Okay, so please welcome Her Grace Parijata Devi and her invisible team.
Vanchakalpa Churubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna everyone. I feel very humbled to be present to speak something as a team, all of us, on this very interesting topic. I think the last many sessions have given us they've almost prepared the soil. It's like preparing the soil to plant some seeds. And I feel that this conversation that we're going to also engage in with you is also part of that soil preparation as we plant the seeds, different elements of Varnashrama Dharma, for it to manifest into something that would be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So, our topic is farm communities and how they serve as powerful outreach hubs and devotional development hubs. Sorry. So, excuse me. Raghunandan Prabhu, I just motioned to you to just skip over. Okay. Yes. So the outline for this afternoon's presentation. This is Mother Julan Yatra. We're going to talk about our working definition in Gitanagari of Varnashrama Dharma. We'd like to evaluate some paradigms this afternoon. We'd like to share with you what we think is the current paradigm and propose a shift in paradigm. We'd like to look at some definitions of what is a hub, what is devotional development, what is outreach in our context. So we get that out of the way and we then focus on, you know, some of the elements. We just want to keep our expression today very succinct because we have 1 hour. So we'll speak of 3 case studies as examples of the outreach hub. And the team is here with me today, and they will speak on the devotional development hub as testimonies from themselves. We'll share a few video clips along the way, and we're always open to questions, and we look forward to some engaging conversation. I want to welcome Snan Yatra Prabhu. And I'm not sure where Dhruva is. So we'll just figure it out. So for us, Varnashram simply is a system to guide relationships. We find that living on farms in rural settings and being all volunteers, no one receives a salary. A lot depends on relationship. A lot depends on the quality of the relationships in order to achieve something in a systematic way that is pleasing to Prabhupada along his visions, in alignment with his vision and the instructions that we understand. Gitanagari's primary driving framework is given through Srila Prabhupada's, it's about a 23-page document called The Conception of Gitanagari, written in 1956. And that gives us a broad framework within which to implement his desire for this particular project. We then distill that into a vision for us as a team, and we have a mission underlying that. And we also have a framework, and we call that the method behind our madness, because it's quite crazy sometimes. So many priorities, so many things going on. But by all of us focusing and understanding what is our core element and what are supporting aspects, then we're able to focus and make appropriate choices and decisions. So that, for us, is very important. So Varnashrama for us, in its very simple sense, is it's a system to guide our current relationships. As a team, all of us engage in very diverse services, and you'll hear a little bit more about that later. For us, we invariably act in different roles. I mean, that happens in any temple, in any project. We do, someone's on the altar, someone's doing administration, someone's, in our context, herding cows. We're doing physical service, cleaning, constructing, working the land. So for us, as aspiring Vaishnavs, we find ourselves in various occupational duties in the traditional Varnashrama Dharma system. However, being in an environment like this with Radha Damodar as the ultimate beneficiary of all our services and activities, we are always in this consciousness and mindset that we are ultimately servants of Krishna, servants of the servants of Krishna. And so as we go about our services in that way, in those roles, in those service responsibilities, that overriding understanding remains. And in our next slide, we'll see how Krishna is the center. It's essential in a rural setting when you're doing such almost non-mainstream services as in a city where you're doing book distribution and you're going on Harinam and you're doing direct temple worship. It's very important for us when we're doing our construction, when we're repairing pipelines and we're installing systems and we're maintaining the dam, that we understand that Krishna is the center. So it takes an extra endeavor on all of our parts. We find that in Varnashrama, devotees are utilizing their nature in service to Krishna. So you'll hear from the devotees how they are in some ways attempting to do that. And then most important for us is how we respect each other's services, how we respect each other's contributions in this kind of setting. So I often make that example, you know, sometimes the pujari may have this mentality, oh, look at that person working so hard in the barn, he didn't even make it to the morning program. Or, you know, the person in the barn is saying, look at that pujari, all she does is the aarti, and I work so hard out here tending the cows. If we don't have some basic level of understanding, then we lose respect for each other, and the services that we're offering to Radha Damodar as the ultimate beneficiary, then that poses some concerns and issues in our service. So for us, as we said, equally important is mutual respect among all of us carrying out our services. So that for us, in kind of a nutshell, is how we understand. We also know that that devotees are transcendental to the Varnas, and we've heard many quotes this morning from Srila Prabhupada extolling that. So when we have to execute on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, our approach is simply understanding Shastra, reading Shastra, understanding, discussing among ourselves, consulting. And in this way, we're able to then act and serve, live, share, grow. Basic principles, you know, coming down really back to basics. The consultation aspect is very important for us. As a team, we were quite individualistic in our early stages. You know, the typical forming, norming, and development. Forming phase quite frequently because we were new. We had just formed, and however, we, you know, got a little smart and said, well, let's norm a little bit so we can, you know, we can shift that before the storm. And we didn't storm so much, but it took a lot of work. And so consulting is very essential for us among each other. I'm very grateful that I serve with a very mature, intelligent, devotional group. And for us, consulting with our leader, in our case, it's His Holiness Devamrita Swami, absolutely essential. And then we have Prabhupada's overriding Gitanagari prophecy that's affectionately known as. And then we have the broader context of ISKCON and Prabhupada's instructions for farm communities. So today we'd like to invite you to consider a paradigm shift. In our understanding, The current paradigm is the action is in the city. That's where you really pump out the Krishna consciousness, right? You know, you go on books, you go on Harinam, it's so exciting, it's enlivening. You get a book and you're new to Krishna consciousness. You know, you're visiting a temple because you live in the city. But we want for you to consider that the action is also on the farms. And I'd like to invite you to just maybe tell me what you think of when you think of a farm. What kind of lifestyle picture comes into your consciousness? Any thoughts when you think of a farm? Yes.
Lots of hard work.
Lots of hard work. What else? Anything else? Yes. She says not so much technological interference. What else comes into your consciousness? Yes.
Simple life.
Simple life. Yes. Is that a positive or a negative for you?
Very positive.
Prabhupada so nicely in one expression in the 1977 lecture that he gave in Vrindavan shared how although we aspire for simple life, we're so far away from living it, you know, making the shift to live it. And that's where he brought in the understanding that Varnashrama colleges could be set up in cities to be able to bridge that. Other thoughts on, any final thoughts on why? Yes, Krishnananda Prabhu.
Living close to nature?
Living close to nature, yes. Krishnananda Prabhu also had something.
More peaceful than the hellish cities. That's in Prabhupada's words, he said.
Okay.
Hellish.
Right. So, thank you for sharing that. So for us, yes, a lot of action and a lot of what you said, hard work is there. But how to infuse it with the bliss that I see so often in the cities. For us, we would like to invite you to consider how that the action is one, also on farms, and two, it's not necessarily that everyone would have to move to a farm, but there are ways in which those of us in the cities can also make a contribution to what the farms have to offer, which puts a lot of responsibility on farms to serve the members in the cities, to serve the devotees and the newcomers in the cities. So, for us, Gita Nagari serves as a hub. A hub is considered, in a general defined way, a center of intense and effective activity. So, we want to propose that Gita Nagari is a hub. Center of intense, definitely activity, and definitely we would like to be effective. And we find that there are two simultaneous aspects to our daily dealings here. The one is our own development and growth, being very rural, being in a very sattvic environment. None of us, I think, grew up on farms. We all just came from the cities. And making the adjustment, the transition. There's a different kind of expectation from the environment of us as conditioned souls. In general, but it's the dharma, it's the dhammada, the cows, different sweet elements of the dharma that make demands on us as servants in an environment like this. So for us there's a lot of personal development happening, and I just use the term devotional development. So we use this term in a context that we adapted from the term personal development. It's basically a lifelong process, as you know, everyone's wanting to make, you know, motivate themselves, get better at everything, become high performers, do all of those great things. But in its actual essence, it's for us to assess our skills and qualities. As Vaishnavas, taking inventory, learning all the time, we're learning, we might be as simple as learning how to do an aarti, or simple for us is learning how to milk the cows, or plow the land. So it might be something very basic. But for us, constantly also working on our devotional character, on our qualities, how to imbibe humility, how to imbibe selflessness, and then really aligning and becoming serious about the goal of achieving ultimate service to Krishna, Krishna's servants. And in that way we understand our real identity. So that's how we kind of use this term devotional development. And then for us, outreach, and we find a lot of this, is extending of our services beyond our current or usual limits. I don't know how you feel in the cities, but we feel extended quite frequently. We feel out of our depth quite frequently, because we're managing and serving and being stewards of natural resources, which means becoming expert in understanding what happens in the forests and what's happening to the waterways and what's happening with the soil, what's happening with the cows, and then also, you know, understanding the sweet effects of deity worship and the subtleties and the sweet dealings among Vaishnavas. So there's a lot of that. And so for us, outreach is going beyond our limits. That's among ourselves. And then when we have guests come over, then it also means that we are able to go beyond our limited capabilities to make it easy for them to take to Krishna consciousness. And when they come into an environment like this, where they're seeing a Varnashram, if you want to call it that, for us it's just elements of a life, of a rural lifestyle. Perhaps it can be shaped to fit some definition of Varnashram, but for us it's just elements of a rural lifestyle. But the outreach becomes so powerful, and we look at three case studies to show you that. We just spoke about that, yeah. So let's just start very quickly with Penn State University, and then I'll talk about some Russian guests that we frequently have visit us, and our relationships and dealings with the United States Department of Agriculture. If we go to... This is just some pictures. That's the previous one. Go back. I'll just talk through the picture. Yeah. So this is a group called Lead in Action. They come from Penn State University. Aditya Prabhu is here. His good wife, Raja Vilasini, when they lived in State College, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, she decided to just go and address a group on sustainability because she got to know what we do, and she's a journalist, so she knew how to package what we do to a non-devotee audience. And she made contact, and there's a very nice person in the Center for Ethical and Religious Studies. The head of that department, she connected with us, connected with Braja and Aditya, connected with us, and she brought her first group out to the farm. And they had such a wonderful time that they went back and set up a club that changed their terminology, and they called themselves Lead in Action because they saw how volunteers, all of us, were both servants and leaders. And they also adopted the term service instead of chores or tasks or activities. Because they are, when they came, we briefed them on, you know, the context and what devotional service is. Of course, in a very indirect way. And so that already had some impact in that particular person's consciousness, and she had enough influence to implement something in her university regarding that. And ever since, 3 times a year, this group come out. And we've built very steady, effective relationships with them. So it's not all quiet and austere and difficult on the farm. When these students come, they love to dance, they love to work, we feed them a nice feast. And it's extremely enlivening and enjoyable. The local children have a wonderful time connecting with those, I'm saying children, but the young adults. The local young adults have a great time focusing with these young adults. And all of us are so enlivened, even us kind of older ones are very enlivened to be able to have such young energy and for them to leave fulfilled. A lot of the significant development on the farm are done by their volunteer efforts. And here they are, you know, working on the basement room, or the famous firewood, that's a big deal for us in the winter. And they're in the yoga studio, and after each session they do a reflection. And they've always given us exceptional positive feedback. We don't have time to go into all of their feedback. So here's, you know, outreach. Simple university group. One group, and I was out of the country at the time, but it was apparently about 90% Muslims that had come. I don't know if you remember that, right? Yeah. It's just a lot of Muslims that had come. And it was very interesting, and they left feeling so enlivened and so engaged. So we're going to quickly go to the next one. So before we hit play, because that's a clip, another model that I would like to invite you to consider is, and that's something that even our Philadelphia Mangalarti and her team do with us, is for a long time we've been having this one Russian devotee from New York. She somehow connected with influential Russian speakers from her country, and she started little conversation groups of Russian devotees in New York, and they started little conversation groups. She connected them with these influential speakers or devotees, and then she invited them to the U.S., and then she needed a place to host them. And we, of course, you know, said, yes, please come. Their first retreat was a very cold, in the middle of the winter, December 25th retreat. And it was really quiet. There was nobody here, just us. And it was our first winter retreat. But she brought an amazing group. usually 90% of them are non-devotees or very new devotees to be. When she did the first retreat, it might be a little controversial, but it was, the yoga studio was set up with lights and a beautiful Christmas tree and gifts under the tree, because they had chose to spend their Christmas with some speaker that they just, you know, met over the phone, and really like strangers among them, and coming to a very rural place in the dead of winter. It's literally dead here. I mean, it's alive with Radha Damodar and the cows and Prabhupada and devotees, but in terms of the landscape, there's not a leaf in sight, and it's white. So it's quite interesting. And so they had a great time, and ever since she's been bringing them back. But what I appreciate about that particular model is that she had the ability to connect people to people that had influence, but she made a connection and a relationship, built a relationship. We both, the team and us and her, built a relationship to the point that she trusts us to bring her group, a group of newcomers who haven't even heard Hare Krishna, to an environment and space like this. So she put her trust in us, and that was very empowering for us. And so we in return gave her the best experience that we could given our facilities. And they always go back enlivened about the hospitality, the great prasadam, and they're happy to accept the simple accommodation that we have. As long as it's clean, they're happy to appreciate the accommodation, because you know everything else is just so amazing for them because of the sweetness of the service. So that sweet relationship between influential people like yourselves in the city, trusting a team like us to host the people that you are cultivating, creates a very powerful platform for people to connect with the environment, with aspects of Krishna consciousness that may not be so obvious in the city, with sustainable living, you know, and compassionate farming, compassionate living, ethical choices, simple practices like organic farming and conservation and cow protection. So that becomes very real for them, because then they see whatever they read in the books and the principle that devotees are attempting to follow, they see some action, they see some example, working model of that. And so we as a team feel there's a big responsibility that reside these working models, because that would build up the credibility and that would make us relevant. We may have many, perhaps, self-righteous views on so many things as devotees, sometimes, you know, on diet or, you know, animal care and so on. However, until we are able to show a working model of how we integrate those into our daily lives and activities, you know, there would be always be some doubt in the mind of an intelligent person seeking bhakti. So we'll just play a little clip. It's a very amateur video. She just made this. All newcomers, I think there's one devotee from Chicago, I think a Russian devotee traveling with them. And they just kind of, you know, I mean, we usually serve beautiful plates of prasadam. There's one with a few chickpeas on it, so don't worry about that. But everything kind of, she was so fascinated by everything, that every simple thing for us as devotees was fascinating for her. So first time they had just come encountering devotees, they left chanting Hare Krishna in an ecstatic kirtan. But what you're seeing is just her little snippet of her time here and her friends. The song. Expression, but I was appreciating how she, with so many things that we took for granted, she highlighted You know, so many things, it's so simple for her. You know, what's the big deal of some of the things she just, you know, shared. But there were also some things that you noticed through her lenses that were meaningful. Everyone connects with Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's samadhi. Just everyone. They haven't met him, but the samadhi is such a, for them, everyone connects, they want to go up to the house where he was. They just know that he's our mentor. You know, they know some things about him. Shri Radha Damodara Kajaya. So you notice a lot of the activities even happen at the institute house, even happen around the samadhi. And everything else happens at the yoga studio, the freak, some visits to the barn, and they barely come into this. They just do a small Russian Bhagavad Gita class for the devotees that are there in a morning program. But the rest of it is, you know, that's what they connect with. So for us, the things that we, in our understanding, are just taken for granted, those were special things for her. Two chairs at the back of, you know, in a forest. It meant something. It meant something of, you know, peace, of, you know, just quietness. So people are seeking something. And we were reflecting on that. And one of the realizations we've come out with is that when someone lives in the city, and I think in general, we don't want to maybe generalize too much, is that, and when they're faced with a lot of artificial dealings, and nothing is really very authentic or genuine, when they come into contact with devotees, I think that's one thing that we can really give to them. They can sense authenticity. Authenticity in our practice, in what Prabhupada has given us. And when they experience that, when they connect with that, then there's an absolute embracing. They just embrace it. There's a very deep connection because they're seeking authenticity. Because everything is so artificial in their lives. Relationships fall apart. You know, they feel let down, or technology doesn't work. It's not much. It's so superficial in general, in a non-devotee's kind of world. And so when they experience authenticity, it's very attractive for them. And so for us, that's something that we try to work on as a community. I always share with devotees that ask me, well, all of us, how do you live in Gita Nagari? And the one thing I always comment on is that I've never been in such an authentic community. Everyone is so real. It's so real that, you know, they've all been trained in how to give and receive feedback, all been trained in growing together. And that is very refreshing. And so when people come in contact with that, there's a very strong attraction to that. And the last one is the USDA. So a lot of the developments at the farm and the agriculture side are based on grants, the funding for those. And they started off with just very kind of mechanical, routine-based procedure. You see a grant, you package your project to meet the requirements, and submit it and pray to Krishna. We don't quite pray to Krishna for those kind of things, but you know, the kind of deep desires, oh, I hope we get this grant and we can do something pleasing for the cows and take better care and so on. So a lot of it has been through that. And what started off as a very mechanical relationship has ended up in something that is very sweet, something that is very based on understanding the real needs, the USDA understanding the real needs of a operation like ours. They realize that we're not conventional. When we walk in there and we ask about deer fences, and they ask you, why don't you shoot the deer, then they know about you. When we walk in there and talk about a retired herd of cows, and we wonder, why don't you send them to slaughter, why are they retired, they know that there's something different about us. And so through those various conversations, they've come to understand who we are, so much so that they've hosted their board meetings here. Even they have a civil rights group within their state offices. They've brought them over. They brought them on tours. And then constantly, whenever we have any specific practices that we want to implement on the farm, we have different experts coming out, and we share those with devotees. A good example was the last farm conference we had. It was a very small conference, but very effective in terms of how the different experts from their team shared their expertise with us, but connected on a relationship level as well. We're just going to see Melissa. Kala Kanta Prabhu, the Minister of Cow Protection and Agriculture, just said to her, can you say something about why you like working here on the farm? She wasn't at her best, in my opinion, but I thought I'd just share what she shared at that time. She was a very self-conscious person at the time. But here's a little snippet of what she shared with Kala Kanta Prabhu.
No, Okay. Sorry, we're doing it. Yeah. Well, as far as working with them, working with Ishkar, I mean, it's been amazing. You know, it's been a really good working relationship. We've touched on every different resource on the farm, from forest land to pastures to cropland to their farmstead. And it's, you know, being able to work with farm operators that are truly, you know, interested in sustainability on every different resource on their farm has been, you know, really rewarding, really interesting. You know, we've started out when they just had a few animals, and now it's expanded to where they are today. So it's been kind of an evolution of, you know, them growing their farm and becoming profitable in what they're growing. And it's just been great working together and seeing the growth of this farm into what it was when we first started 10 years ago, to, you know, what they've grown into now, the different forages that they're planting, the rotational grazing system that they have, and just really taking care of the land. So.
She was so self-conscious.
Okay,
so that's just kind of three very brief case studies on the outreach. And now we'll go to personal development and growth among us, and how, as much as it happens in the cities, in your homes, in your practices, Krishna consciousness in the city temples, it's the same for us here, although it seems like we have to do something really intentional to grow. We made a choice, the six of us, that we don't want to just exist and by default, you know, get some realization here and there and talk to each other one day and be nice and not the next day. We made a commitment to the relationships, and we've been led primarily by Snanyata Prabhu, actually, and he's been pulling us together to really work on our expressions to each other, on our appreciation, and really working to understand each other's style. Bhuta Bhavana serves as a mentor for the team, and he took us through many team profiling, team development programs, and really helped us understand why Dhruva gets up every morning with a different vision and all of us have to keep up, and why that freaks me out. And why, you know, Snanyata Prabhu is more steady and dependable, and Mother Julian also, you know, very committed, and so is Keshi, and Nandi is also a little, you know, kind of let's do more, pushing us a little bit, and you know, there's those of us that actually like, okay, can we do this a little more systematically, and at the same time, those who are pushing and shaping things, they're very expert at doing that. The rest of us just give it more structure and form and implementation. And so we've learned, and we're still learning actually, we've learned to serve according to each other's strengths, and we've learned to, and we're still learning to support each other in the areas of limitation. But at least what we do know is that when we're irked by something, we can express it. And we can work through it and still remain committed to the relationship. For us, a lot of the foundational training has come. We read a lot of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's books. A lot of the foundational training has also come from Mother Rajalila. She's kind of very effective mirror in terms of our growth. So, and then we've kind of almost become self-sufficient as a team in managing that now ourselves, a little more mature, and how to go through those, to that processing and realization. So I'd like to invite the devotees to at least just speak something and share what services they do. What I thought they would do is, instead of me telling you how great they are, and they're not going to tell you how great they are, but they can just, by describing the services that they do, you'll understand the diversity and the spectrum of what happens on a project like this, and how the elements of Varnashram sprinkled in. As I said, we just call it a simple rural lifestyle. And then they would share their realizations and perhaps get an indication of whether they're fulfilled or not. And hopefully you can Consider our proposed paradigm shift, that the actions are also on the farms and not just in the cities. So I would like to invite first Dhruva to speak something, since he arrived a little late and I've been doing all the talking.
He didn't want me to just be like an icon here. So I was just remembering that, you know, a few years ago I was speaking with Devamrita Maharaj, and when I got into the room, immediately he tells me, "So Dhruva, why can't we have Service Wonderland here?" Service Wonderland, what does that mean? And so then, you know, over the years I've definitely been reflecting more of that. And I think, you know, what we'll hear from the devotees, share a little bit about their services and how they're engaged, you'll get a feel for what the Wonderland is all about. So of course, you know, like Parijara was mentioning, it's, you know, very, very variegated. And, you know, of course, you know, by watching TV or watching movies or different things, we kind of like got an idea of what goes on farms. But essentially, you know, it's a hub of activities. There's just, you know, so many things to be done. So I guess just let the devotees one by one share a little bit about what activities they're engaged in, and, you know, we can chat a little bit about it later.
Hare Krishna. You know, one of my joys here at Gitanagari is working with devotee care. We have a weekly meeting where we discuss primarily nonviolent communication. Yes, it was a necessity, you're right. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised in an environment that fostered nonviolent communication. And so it's been quite a learning process to try to find a way to take responsibility for my own development, for my own feelings, and to make requests of my fellow core members in a way that empowers them and empowers me at the same time. I was raised in the generation where it was winning by intimidation. Whoever spoke the loudest and looked like the most authoritative person would win the day. And here it doesn't work like that. I found that Radha Damodar don't care how much I do. They care how I do it and how I interact with my fellows. The other thing that I've learned in Gitanagari is that I have to depend on Krishna for everything, every little thing. I do some cooking here, and I was never trained as a cook. I like to cook, but I was never trained, and all of a sudden to have 120 people here depending on my efforts as a cook, it was quite intimidating. So I really had to learn how to beg Krishna for help. One of the things that I do here is I make the yogurt. And it's quite a challenge because it's been about a year process learning how to make yogurt. And I wanted to also emphasize our dependence here on the parampara. I have a yogurt guru, Apurva Prabhu. Many of you know Apurva Prabhu. And he gave me some secret mantras and some ingredients I would have never guessed. But basically his message was, Krishna is everywhere in everything. He's a super soul. And I have to rely on Krishna if I want anything to be successful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. You do make good yogurt, Prabhu. It's almost like ice cream. So unlike the other devotees, I do like to talk about myself, and I'm pretty good at it. So first of all, so I'm coming from New Zealand, and I'm coming from a suburban environment, working in the city while working. I was in the military. The training area overseas, but basically an 8-hour job most times. Over the years, over the last couple of years since I've transitioned to full absorption, in devotional arena. I was just looking back this afternoon and realizing that before I came to Gita Nagari, I was good at getting absorbed in things, but mostly the bulk of my time was spent working for a materialistic government or, you know, materialistic employees, where you're putting all your hard-earned, well, your blood, sweat and tears into someone else's gain. And so I realized that by coming to Gita Nagari, I had somewhere to direct that blood, sweat and tears and sink my teeth into it. So in the city I found for myself, it was, you know, cooking or hosting guests or doing books or, but personally it wasn't really enough to really sink my teeth into. So by coming to Gita Nagari, I found there are so many varieties of service. It's just how many hours do you have in a day, and how much energy do you have in your body? And so I'm very grateful for the leaders here, for providing a become submerged in service, and then
submerged.
And then devotionally, my devotional development is must be happening. This property is Radha Damodar's property. They're the proprietors. And every day, I'm either seeing them from the temple room floor, praying to them, or I'm serving them intimately. And throughout my working day, I am conscious of, I'm conscious of my mind and how it's, and how Radha Damodar or the Super Soul is waking me up. You know, buck up your ideas. I may be considering that I can do this service by myself. I don't need any help. I'll just prove my prowess and I'll do everything. And then straight away, I'll stub my toe or something, or I'll get frustrated in some way, and so I'm thinking, okay, Krishna, thank you for that one, I can direct my mind a little bit better, so yeah, that's. Thank you for your time and thank you for coming here. You enjoy the environment that we're trying to create for devotees to come and relax and take full advantage of the sattvic nature out here. Thank you.
Thank you, Nandi. Mother Shulan and then Keshi Martin.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One thing Nandi didn't say, he's not going to say, but he is one of our superstars here. We have a lot of superstars here. Amazing. Everybody here just blows me away with how much they do every day. I'm a little bit older and I can't keep up. But I try. Nandi, he's pujari, he's cook, and when a big crowd comes, he's like so eager to make one of those big, like lasagnas or something, where both of us are going, gosh, just rice and dal, okay? He's like, no, we got to have something nice. And so he's our superstar. He also trains the bulls. He's training them to pull carts. He loves it. It's not his service. It's his desire. It's his love. It's his passion. Even on his days off, he's out there training. And we really want to see Gita Nagari be ox-powered in the near future. And that's one of his dreams. And I'm very proud of him. He's like a son to me. He's one of those amazing, brilliant people that can fix anything. Nandi! Nandi! Come here! Everybody's calling Nandi all over the farm all the time. And he's kind of smiling. I know. So he works more than 12, 13, 14 hours a day, a lot of the days. So does my husband. My husband didn't tell you all he does. I mean, we were hoping that the devotees would explain what they do so you could just see. But Dhruva didn't say anything about all the stuff he does. He's just this amazing. I mean, he's constantly over there at the barn milking and shoveling manure and hay and figuring everything out and fixing, making sure we get it well in, making sure that all the cars are running, we're all taken care of. I mean, I can't even list all of the things that Dhruva does every day. And he outdoes, look how skinny he is. He outdoes all of us. He maybe sleeps 4 hours a night, and he's working the rest of the time, seriously. And his wife is right there with him. I can't believe all they can do in one day. But I feel really small compared to what this team can do. But I do want to tell you some of the things I do, just because we promised that we would. Okay. So I do pujari work. I am the yoga teacher here. We have the yoga studio over there, beautiful organic bamboo floors over there. So if you guys are ever here on Fridays, right now I'm either teaching yoga on Fridays or Wednesdays. Please come. Everybody's welcome. It doesn't matter if you're what body you're in. I don't see that. Let's see. I cook here. I run the gift store. I'm me, myself, and I. Owen Krishna. I do the decorating for the festivals. My husband and I share the devotee care. And my husband also, he has some medical knowledge, so we also try to help the devotees with their bodies. We're all involved in cleaning the temple constantly. We have to communicate with the people that respond to us from our web pages, so we're busy doing that. We're always taking inventory of what items we have here, be it vegetables, rice, dal, flowers, whatever. We're always have to be on top of that so we don't run out of anything. So that means there's always a lot of shopping. Arjata gets to do that. We serve at the retreats. We're on call. And we have lots of intense service during the retreats. And so we can't afford to be mad at each other. It doesn't work when you have a small team like this to be mad at each other. So my husband, yeah. So I'm not mad at you. You're a wonderful husband. So we can't afford to be mad at each other, so we have to constantly counsel each other and go, what did I do wrong, you know? How could have I done that different? And my husband guides us through how to, bring out what is bothering us, say it in a non-violent way, you know, say it in a way that we take responsibility for whatever we're feeling. Not that person made me feel that. I'm feeling this way because, okay, because I, then you have to really go in there and figure it out. But the day goes so much easier after you get rid of that stuff and realize you're not the victim, you know? So thank you for keeping us loving each other and appreciating each other because we have to. There's just, I mean, you know, right? Krishna doesn't let us go around committing offenses to each other without paying for it. So let's just get over that and move on to do our service. So one of the things I really appreciate about our team is that we have a Brahminical head team. So everybody on the head team, Brahmins, when a project comes that we have to do, we write it down on paper. We figure out how much it's going to cost, how much time it's going to take to do it, and what is the outcome? How is it going to benefit the farm, and how is it going to pay for itself? So you have to have all. You have to know all of that. Otherwise, you might see a big piece of machinery and think, "Oh my God, that's going to just be the end all." So what? It costs $17,000. We'll figure out how to get that money. Okay, but. And then if you do it like that, you might, and on your own, you might find out it's sitting in the barn a couple of years. So we figured that out, that you have to really get all of the Brahmins together and figure out how to buy things that really, you know, can really bring us a profit. And so I'm really happy about that, that we have some very intelligent Brahmins on the team. And I'm really happy that we're having this discussion, all of these thoughts that are coming out. And I want to give credit to Tukaram Prabhu because he's really moving this along in his way. I remember about 3 years ago, my husband and I saw a video that Tukaram did. How many of you in the audience saw the video Tukaram did about cows and what Prabhupada wanted? Please raise your hand. If you haven't, please go online and see the wonderful video he put together. He quotes everything Srila Prabhupada said about protecting cows. And because of that, my husband and I decided we need to have cows. So We couldn't pull it off where we were living. And so Devamrita Swami said, "Remember 5 years ago I told you to go to Gitanagari?" He said, "Look into it again, would you please?" So we said, okay. It gets cold there. We're used to California weather. Okay. So we came here for a visit. That's all it took. 4 or 5 days on the farm, and they had stolen our hearts, the cows, Parijata, Dhruva. Everybody that was here had stolen our hearts so badly, we didn't even want to leave to go back and get our stuff. But we knew we had to. We had to get rid of the house we were living in. We did it all these years. So we did it, and we came back here, and we are so happy to be living here in this little blockhouse down the road here. It just suits us perfectly to look out the out our kitchen window every day and see the cows. Oh my God. And the baby cows. Have you guys seen the five new baby cows? Well, actually, there's seven. Seven? Oh my gosh. They'll steal your heart. They'll just, if you sit down, they'll curl up in your lap. And their faces are so soft and snuggly. So, thank you for coming here and supporting Gita Nagari. This is Srila Prabhupada's mission for Varnashram here in Gita Nagari, and we hope someday to achieve that. Thank you.
So we have Keshi Maharajan Prabhu. He's another city slicker and he grew up mainly in Las Vegas. So he joined the team recently, so maybe he can quickly share. He had a few desires when he came, but what's he doing right now? Please quickly. Time, of course, you know, we need to close. So maybe just share a few points.
Sorry. Hare Krishna. My name is Keshi Mardan Das, and I moved here about 6 months ago. Let's see, the last 10 years or so, I spent living in... Anybody can guess where I was living previously? It was a city in Nevada. It's called Las Vegas. Has anybody ever been to Las Vegas before? Okay, hopefully it was a short trip. My trip lasted 10 years. I had some unpious activities to burn up. And so I lived in Las Vegas for 10 years, and previous to that I lived in suburban Tampa, Florida. And never thought I would live on a farm. Never thought I would live on a farm. My spiritual master, Devamrita Swami, he invited me to come to Gita Nagari. actually, I was in university. I was in my last year of university. And I was about to graduate, and he asked me, "What are you going to do after you graduate?" I said, "I have no idea. Can you please tell me what I should do?" And he told me the first thing was to go to Gita Nagari for some time, just take a holiday. So I spent 6 weeks here last summer, and I really liked it. The devotees are so sweet. Kept me really engaged, which isn't difficult to do here on the farm. But I never thought I would come back. I spent 6 weeks here. I thought it was really wonderful, connecting with the cows, connecting with nature, being here in this very nice, beautiful temple environment as well. But still never thought I would come back and live on a farm. I spent a few months in New Zealand, and afterwards my spiritual master brought up the question again, "Would you like to go back to Gita Nagari?" So I said, "Yeah, absolutely, I'd love to." And so now I'm here, and hopefully on a more permanent basis, as long as Radha Damodar keep me around. Having no farm experience or really manual labor experience at all, I'm a city boy, I'm an office man. I spent my college years working in office jobs and air-conditioned rooms and getting all the comforts of the city. But somehow or another there was an opportunity here at Gita Nagari for administrative work and helping with accounting and basically anything that has to go on in the office. And so I'm being engaged in that. That was the original proposal my spiritual master had for me. Well, we really need help here at Gita Nagari. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar.
Well, we'll just quickly summarize in three of us and then Artic Ceremony. Maharaj, you can continue in the meantime.
Yep, I'll finish up just now.
So quick summary.
Yeah, so I was originally coming here to help out with the office, but it took about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks until I got my hands into just about everything else. So milking and helping with the cows, just about anything. Recently, my spiritual master gave me second initiation, so I'm now being trained on altar services and things that are going on in the temple, cooking. There's just this really wonderful opportunity at Gita Nagari to be engaged in so many services and to learn so much that I feel like in my previous situations in cities and preaching centers and other temples that I may have not gotten. Doing so many wonderful services. So definitely there is a lot of action here at Gita Nagari and on farms in general. And if you just spend some time here, a week or 2 weeks, you can really feel this amazing opportunity for full absorption in devotional service. If you can kind of overcome your mind, that's been my biggest challenge, is trying to overcome the mind. Taking shelter of the association of devotees who are doing it much better than you are helps. Then you can really feel this nectar that comes from this constant engagement in devotional service, really pushing yourself and experiencing that bliss within from selfless service. Hopefully I'll get there someday with your blessings. And Parijata didn't talk. She's not going to talk because we're going to go into Arti, but she does so much service. Both her and Dhruva, Nandi, the yatras. It's such an inspiration. I'm a really young devotee. I'm like practically new bhakta. I just joined in Las Vegas like 2.5 years ago. But like seeing these amazing devotees and how engaged they are, and they're just constantly, whether if they're physically engaged, if they're not physically engaged, their minds and their intelligence are just totally engaged in thinking how we can expand our service to Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And so it's a very, very inspiring environment to be in, and I'm sure that all of you can feel that as soon as I'm here. It's also very enlivening to have more devotees here on the farm. And if you can please come and visit us more often, it would be wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I just want to do a time check with Braj Bihari Prabhu. You want us to end right away? We have one more. We can end with one just sound clip. I won't play the 1 4-minute clip. We'll just play the 1 2-minute clip, then we can end with that.
Well, it's your house, so you do whatever you want, ultimately.
Well, maybe we can also just, after playing the clip, we can also just maybe take 1 or 2 questions and then we can close.
I just didn't want to hold up the kirtan schedule. We good to go? A few more minutes?
Yes, as,
thank you.
As you like.
Thank you. So, if we go... this is a little long. Many of you may have seen this video, so I think we'll skip it because we can have more time for questions. The broader community is a storehouse of sweetness and nectar. The 6 of us sitting here is just another wave. Gitanagari had many waves. There was the original wave when the farm was bought in 1974. By New York, called New Vashana originally. Srila Prabhupada visited, renamed the farm Gitanagari. And then there were a set of leaders and servants here, and they pioneered the project like anything. And every day, we're always grateful to those devotees who put their hearts, their real sweat and hearts, into building what we have today, and that those of us who come subsequently can actually benefit from their services and continue in that. So the original wave with all of Prabhupada's senior disciples, and then there was Paramananda Prabhu, and then Satsvarup Maharaj was based here, and then the next wave of devotees, when Bhakti Tirtha Swami was requested to serve here, the devotees that now currently live in our community either Satsvarup Maharaj disciples or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj disciples. Such a testimony to their guru's legacy in how they continue to serve here in Gitanagari. Although they live outside, their hearts are very much... Gitanagari, we don't see any distinction, you know, off the ISKCON property and them on their private lands. At the farm conference, one of the devotees asked about what are some of the critical success factors of intentional communities in a rural setting. And the one principle I shared in my observation of myself coming in as a new person into this environment and into this community is that whatever the devotees would, however they were trained by Satsvarup Maharaj, by Bhakti Tirtha Swami, shows in them and their children. And these are some of our children here. Give a two, one or two, not there. That's not all of them. In terms of how 10, 15 years ago, it was another group sitting here, and they were the affluent professionals of Washington, D.C., leaving their comfortable situations and just coming to the farm. And they've stayed. It's now 18 years, 22 years, 21 years, and they continue to serve. And so Gitanagari is broader than all of us, broader than the 6 of us. And we extend that, and it sounds a little far-fetched, but we truly extend that throughout the county and with all the contractors we deal with and all the Amish and the Mennonites and the wonderful pious people in this environment. Sometimes I honestly think that they're just hand-picked by Damodar to come and render some service, even unknowingly in an environment like this, because they have such a sweet work, such a high work ethic. It's not just sweet, it's actually very effective and very positive attitudes. So I want to end with one saying that I'm very grateful that the Varnashram Conference is based as it's in its inception phases here in Gitanagari. We all know the famous pastime with Abhiram Prabhu regarding his memories of Prabhupada wanting to come to Gitanagari and teach Varnashram. Prabhupada's body was weak. Devotees encouraged him not to travel. He still wanted to travel. He got as far as London. Then he had to travel back to Vrindavan. And when they asked, where do you want to go? And he said, Gitanagari. And why would you go to Gitanagari? Prabhupada replied, and these are his exact words, "I will sit and teach them Varnashram." A kind of direct translation perhaps from Bengali. "I will sit and teach them Varnashram." And so much is to be done. For us, it's very significant that the conference is in its early stages. At least the conversations are here in this Tirtha. Prabhupada visited in 1976. And there's a whole so much more to share on that. So I'm very grateful. We are all very grateful that that is happening now. I want to thank every one of you. Many of you have been coming here for years. Ever since His Holiness Rongpa Swami has been having his retreats here, you've been coming. And I'm getting to feel old because the children that I knew as toddlers are now in high school. So I really want to express my sincere appreciation to every one of you. So those of you coming here for the first few times, and those of you who have been coming here for years, you remain such a source of strength and support and encouragement for all of us. You're always filled with words of encouragement, and that really sustains us. It gets quite lonely sometimes in the rural areas. There's lots of action. The winter's lots of action, but it takes another level of realization to understand that action. But I want to end by saying that I hope you will sincerely and seriously consider how, as much as the cities are places of action, that the farms are also places of action. And there's a lot that we can do together. We're not for a moment suggesting that everybody abandon their current situations and move on to a farm. We would like to invite you to partner with us, and we would like to partner with you in terms of how we can really increase the menu of the various ways people can come to Krishna consciousness. Through a rural setting, through, you know, environment and sustainable living and ethical choices. There's such the sincere intelligent seekers out there connect with working models like this. And those of you in the cities, as you become advocates for working models like this, and we build a relationship of trust, then we start to serve each other in very meaningful ways to present Krishna consciousness to everyone. So thank you very much for your services in the city. I always say it takes a lot of compassion to live in the city. Life on the farm is actually very easy. We feel like we're on vacation every day. But no, life in the city is not that easy. And you're all so sincerely carrying out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission there. So that's the only reason I think you would remain in the city. It takes a lot of compassion, and we appreciate those qualities in all of you. So we'll just end with one little snippet. This is Ajamil Prabhu. Every year we have a New Year's Eve concert called The Music of the Heart. This was started by His Holiness Bhakti Tetsu Swami. It's in its 13th or 14th year now. It's on New Year's Eve when everyone just doesn't want to be Gita Nagari. It was a very effective way of keeping devotees in Gita Nagari. So we'd have this concert. But apart from that, I was told by my senior god family that it was also a way to meaningfully engage the children and the adults in all of their musical talents and create a little concert that they can, you know, present that. And so we do that every year, and that tradition still continues. So Ajamil Prabhu composed this little song, and we're a very simple community. Sometimes we feel like simple villagers because we don't know what really goes on out there. We know a little bit, but, you know. And so this is a little bit, this is, I think, some sweetness about just simple life in Gita Nagari. So we'll end with that. Thank you.
We can change the world one person at a time. It's alright, you will see in Gita Nagari. There's a place in Pennsylvania, my family, I live with Sri Sri Radha Damodar and Gurudev, my friend. Every word, song, every step's a dance. She wants to see you, won't you come with me and stay a while in Gita Nagari? We can change the world one family at a time. It's alright, you will see Gita Nagari. We can change the world one family at a time. It's alright, you will see Gita Nagari. Gita Nagari. I want you all to see, we are not the mind and body. Won't you let your spirit free? Srila Prabhupada had a dream. Such a place like this, simple living, higher thinking, simply living positive. You can change the world, one village at a time. It's alright, you will see in time.
So thank you very much.
And our thanks to all the devotees serving so sincerely in Gita Nagari. Hare Bol. So now Aarti is already going on, and we have kirtan now until 8 o'clock, and then there's prasad.